Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly programming covering arts and events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner, and alongside with me is Esther Golden, who's the gallery owner for The Nest, your host for Art on the Air. Our 2018 underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Bauer Museum and our landlord, Walt Brinninger, who, if you find out about leasing space in our historic building here in Valparaiso, please give him a call at 219-462-5821. We thank both of them for their generous support. Also, if you're interested in being a guest on here, please send us information about your arts-related event, or even we're expanding to some music here on. Please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. And the show will repeat on Monday from 5 to 6, so give us a listen if you miss this, and we hope you do. You know, we're going to go down the arts events here. First of all, we'll start with Porter County at the Brouwer Museum through December 9th. The photography of Robert Austin, We Ended Up in Australia, Lives and Dreams Imagined. It's based on a true story. We have Krista Steinke with Good Luck with the Sun and other artworks. Another Beautiful Day in Paradise, Nebraska continues through November 5th, and we have a beautiful thing about specifically about Nebraska and how each artist is significant, its ties to Nebraska, done with creative work. At the Ellen Fermi Gallery, Dunes photographer Dave Larson exhibit continues there. That's on US 12 in Beverly Shores. The Village Gallery at Pines Village, continuing through October 25th. Lindsay Sandbooth's Acrylics on Stained Wood. She's based in Highland, but she specializes in very realistic bird portraits on wood panels. It's a Village Gallery through October 25th, and the gallery hours there are Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30 p.m. Chesterton Art Center's October exhibit, States of Landscapes, Dunescapes, and Others. The Art of June Wallace Luby continues through October 30th. The gallery hours are Monday through Friday, 11 to 4, and Saturday, 11 to 2, and that's in Chesterton on 4th Street. Uptown Roots, Ben David Armstrong will be having an opening reception on Saturday, October 27th at 6 p.m. at the Uptown Cafe in Valparaiso, and he's doing Stage 2, which is a continuation of his Stage 1 art, second installment, showing the bright colors. Art Barn, way out in Valparaiso on 400 East, will be doing Paint Your Sun, Astrology and Healing Arts with instructor Martin Siliak. That's on Friday, October 26th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., and painting with a little astrology, more painting using color theory and things like that. And for LaPorte County, I'm going to give it to our co-host Esther. Go ahead.
Thanks, Larry. In LaPorte County at the Lubesnik Center for the Arts, their new exhibit is Waiting for a Sign, and it explores the use of signage, text, and visual images and symbols in the work of 8 contemporary artists, and that is in the Heinemann Gallery. They also have the Brinca Cross Gallery and the Susan Block Gallery, and that opens October 20th through January 12th, and the opening reception is Friday, November 2nd, first Friday. Then they have a curator-led gallery tour Saturday, November 10th from 11 to noon. Those are always really informative. And then we have the Southern Shore Art Association. Their October exhibit is The Artist's Eye, and it continues through the end of the month until October 30th. And that gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street. Then there is the FSC Gallery at 607 Franklin Street, and they are exhibiting the work of Neil Kienitz this month. Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street is exhibiting new works by both Rick Lang and Suzanne Cohen Lang. The Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 South Franklin Street is having an exhibit on space, and that's a group show, and that will be until October 28th. The Nest at 803 Franklin Street, we're exhibiting the paintings and sculptures of David and Margie Kreiner through November 6th. Tonight we have oil painting with Michelle Weiser. Tomorrow we have a class with Susan Atwell, Nuno Felting, And in the evening at 7 p.m., Robert Swan is doing a reading of Samuel Johnson's work. And please stop by for that. He just wants some audience feedback on this reading before it goes into production. And then
In Lake County, we have South Shore Arts. The 75th Annual Salon Show is continuing through November 4th. Great work in the Bachman Gallery, located there at the Center for Visual Performing Arts on Ridge Road in Munster. Also in the Atrium Gallery there is the Ori Schaefer, The Nature of the Abstract, and that'll be running through November 25th. At their Crown Point branch, they continue with Mike Barrett Kowalski's Wildscapes, continuing through January 5th. And then at Cafe Fresco on Court Street in Crown Point, Gifts from Nature through October 28th. 119th Street Artists, Everything Old is New Again exhibit is running through October 27th at the Cornerstone Gallery, 119th Street and New York in Whiting. That's in the Centier Bank, so it's available from Monday through Friday 9 to 5 and Saturday 9 to 12, so you can stop in there anytime. Also, the Urban League of Northwest Indiana is going to be presenting a Gospel Explosion fundraising concert on November 1st, 7 p.m. at the First African American Methodist Episcopal Church in Massachusetts Street, St. Gary. The concert will feature local choirs, and it supports the ongoing mission of the Urban League. And, of course, the Northwest Indiana Symphony will have superstar cellist Richard Hirschel. She'll be featured with the Northwest Indiana Symphony on October 26th at the Living Hope Church Auditorium in Merrillville. You can call 219-836-0525. That's 836-0525. Or go to their website, www.nisorchestra.org, for ticket information. So that's what we have in the roundup. If you have, again, arts events you would like to have, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. And be glad to get your arts event, music event, or whatever we can for that area. So. Well, now we're going to move on to our guest today, a local artist who I've known for quite a few years. And Esther just met, but boy, they had an instant connection. Don Dinatopoulos. I always love that name because, you know, I imagine printing that on the back of a jersey or something like that. You might have to come around at the front. Don was raised in northeastern Pennsylvania, but she left college in Brooklyn, Northwest. She's got a BFA in Fine Arts in 1992, and she's majored in Fine Arts, does printmaking and a whole wide variety of things. And we'll be exploring that. Esther's already made a connection here in the studio, so we'll do that. So welcome, Dawn.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your work.
Lately, I have been doing a lot of work that is very peaceful and zen-like. I've been painting a number of what are known as cairns, which are little stacks of stones.
Okay.
Lots of balance involved in that, and it's become a real form of meditation for me to create these and work on them.
Oh, very good. Now, where have you exhibited that?
They have been, there's a couple at SIP2 right now. There will be some in the upcoming Dire Arts Visionaries shows next month. So they'll be in a couple of places around Northwest Indiana.
Okay, very good. I know I've seen a lot of your work, and it's very interesting, and sometimes abstract, sometimes this printmaking that you do. But what's your inspiration for that?
Well, it really all comes down to nature. I would say that would be kind of the overarching theme that runs through my work, and then also having an emotional component to that too. So right now it's a lot of peace and relaxation and meditation happening, but sometimes it's on the other end of the spectrum and a little bit more vibrant and angry sometimes.
And it really comes through, because when I look through your work, there's this luscious, somber palette that you use, but it doesn't come across as being sad. You know, it does evoke a very peaceful feeling, even though the palette would normally maybe suggest something else. So it's really very sensitive work.
Thank you so much.
Now, I know you've been involved in projects outside of art. What are some of the groups that you're involved in? I know it's you can almost go a laundry list here, but let's hit some of those.
Outside of art directly, I am involved in the Highland Main Street organization, and they are sort of an offshoot of the Redevelopment Commission for Highland, and they are looking to bring different activities into downtown so that people are coming into downtown and frequenting our little small shops there.
And I know one of the projects you were involved in was the Saving the Town Theater.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I know it's not directly art-related, but the idea was to do that.
The idea was that we would have this revamped art theater that was empty for years and years, and be able to show local films and art films and independent films there. And there was a small stage, so we would be able to have perhaps small performances as well. That did not go through, unfortunately, but the Town Theater Board is still intact, and we still had some money in the coffers there. So what we've been doing is meeting quarterly and giving out basically arts grants to fund arts and arts education projects within our community.
One of my old stamping grounds, I think, got a grant is the Highland Theater Company, which is the high school producing group in anything. And Matt Domasica, one of my former students from Munster, who now operates that. So, yeah, I was happy to see that. Though the project and the theater is now gone, which is sad because I remember going to see art films there for many years and everything. But at least it lives on through that involvement and everything. So. Tell us a little bit about, I know you're involved with Dave, and people, Dave is?
Dave is the Dyer Arts Visionaries, and that was a group that was founded primarily to serve Dyer, but it's become a little bit more regional since then, and bringing arts into the community. They don't have any art galleries there, so one of the things that we did is we went into some of the local businesses and asked if we could hang artwork in there. Places so that it was sort of a gallery that you would just stop into. So there's work from local artists in Foodies Cafe, in Intrigue Salon, in Dr. Jethro Smith's office, and also in Centier Bank.
Very good. I know I was a beneficiary of the Intrigue. I had an exhibit there for, I think, a year and a half and actually sold, I think, one or two pieces out of there. But that's a great project in an area that does not actually have a physical art gallery.
Yes.
Now, with the Main Street development, and, you know, years ago, and we've seen that growing with Main Square, first of all, the original gazebo, which was in that, and then the refurbished gazebo. What are some of the projects you work on? I know this is a little off art subject, but it is kind of fun.
Well, actually, we've done a lot of arts projects because a lot of the people that are involved in that group are really interested in the arts. So one of the things that we did was we established a town poet laureate.
Okay.
And they...
A poet don't know it.
Right. A poet laureate who creates poetry and does readings at different events throughout downtown. And then another thing that we did was the murals. So there are three murals off Jouette Street. There's a little alcove near Sip Coffee Shop and Miles Bookstore. And there's three murals there, and that's a project that we are looking to continue to have more artwork in downtown. We do the car cruise in the spring. We just did the Festival of the Trail last weekend, which is an arts festival, arts and live music. And at the end of the summer, we did a new thing, and that was the Last Call for Summer, where we had local restaurants come over and have booths, and we had local musicians playing all original music. We had no covers.
Yeah, we had a discussion about that beforehand and all the licensing requirements for sometimes music in streaming and era. Tell us a little bit about the Festival of the Trail. What is that about? What trail are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about the bike trail, which runs through a great number of communities in our area. And we started that several years ago, and it was arts and... It was trying to be arts with other things. So arts and local businesses, arts and biking and cycling and being active outdoors. And we've changed it a little bit just this last year so that it was strictly arts. And that's always sort of been my goal all along as an artist, that we're going to have more and more and more arts opportunities and activities. So we made the commitment this year that we would maybe make it a little bit smaller, but it would be only arts.
So how do you involve the businesses in all of this?
One of the things that we did during the Festival of the Trail was we had sidewalk sales, which is something that the town doesn't normally do. It. You have to have a permit to do it and all of this. So we made it open so that all of the local businesses could take advantage of the extra foot traffic that was in downtown and take care of that way. And we've done some other things that have featured different businesses, like we've had cash mobs downtown.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're not familiar with that, it's when you set a specific time that you ask people to go to a certain business and you ask them to spend $20. Nobody stands there and counts out how much anyone's actually spending, but it's a kind of a little boost to get people into a local business that maybe they've never been to before, and so that they discover it and hopefully that they come back.
Right. No, I know. We've been talking about it too in Michigan City. Yeah, it's a great idea and fun.
It is. And that trail is one I rode. Well, I don't live in Highland anymore, as you well
right.
know. But I rode down that trail quite often, and I remember stumbling across that. It was a great thing in its formative years. So tell us a little bit about your, you know, I briefly in your opening bio talked on your background, but let's talk about your Pennsylvania roots and how your education and how you got to Northwest Indiana.
I took a rather circuitous trip here to Northwest Indiana. I loved my time in Brooklyn at Pratt Institute. I had an amazing education. I really kind of sucked every little bit of life out of that I possibly could, but I was sort of bored with New York afterwards and wanted to move on to other things. And my now husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, had an opportunity to move to California, and so we kind of went for it. And we ended up getting real jobs. I was still making a lot of artwork at the time, but my real job brought me to Chicago. And at that point...
And what was your real job?
My real job was a regional manager for a retail company that is no longer in existence. So I can't say that I'm sad that that's gone, because things have turned out in a much better way for me, and definitely for my artwork, because it gave me the time to get back to my artwork, which keeps me pretty sane.
Very good. And then so then you were in Chicago and your husband. So how'd you end up like Northwest Indiana is your where you landed?
We decided we were ready to start a family and just couldn't manage it in Chicago. And I didn't want to really manage it in Chicago. I wanted to be someplace where I had a yard. I just think kids need a yard to run around in, and I didn't want to be in an apartment in that.
I understand. Yeah, my daughter lives in Chicago now, so I think she's looking at just having recently getting married, looking for a place to in the suburbs, so there we go. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and we're talking to Dawn Dontopoulos here. Do I get that right?
Diamantopoulos.
I think I got it pretty close. Yeah. You know, I'm surprised you didn't use your maiden name to shorten that down.
Probably should have.
Well, that's okay. You talked about Dave. I see in here that you have AIR Artists in Residence. Tell us a little bit about that and what they do.
That is a new group that I'm part of. Coming up just on our first year, and this was the brainchild of one of the other artists in the group, Sherry Lemonnier, who I know you're
who's going to be our guest next week.
Yes, who I know you know, so she'll probably talk about it a little bit too, but this was her brainchild, and she knew the pastor at First Presbyterian Church in Hammond, and they had unused space. They had a former school there that they no longer had students for. So they had all these empty classrooms and thought that they might make good artist studios. And so in exchange for all of their wonderfulness that they've done for us, we are teaching classes there. And so Sherry just last month taught some watercolor workshops, where it was painting the dunes. And we've had mosaic classes taught and paint your pet classes. Next month, I'll be doing two workshops where you can make your own Christmas cards. We're going to be doing printmaking for those. So you will leave with a small linoleum print.
And that's sort of where you started out, right, in printmaking?
Printmaking is where I started out, yeah.
And then passing it on to another generation of people.
Exactly.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's a great use. I know I saw, and I don't want to give this away for next week, but at the Presbyterian Church where Ileana Artist meets, Sherry has these beautiful large murals of like, you know, various biblical things in there. Absolutely stunning, you know, and everything like that. So we'll talk with her about that.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She is. And, well, and a side note, her daughter was actually part of our theater program at Munster. So, you know, we're kind of close.
And she's performing tonight in Lafayette.
So. Oh, yeah. I know that. Mm-hmm. So, very good. The other thing you're involved with the groups in the area, and we didn't explore that, but, like, what groups, other groups are you involved? We talked about Dave and this new artist in residence and...
I'm also part of South Lake Artist Co-op, which is known as Slack. but if you're wondering what Slack is, it's South Lake Artist Co-op, and they have shows at both SIP locations. There's one in Crown Point and there's one in Highland, and they also do shows regularly at Wild Rose Brewery in Griffith, as well as a couple shows a year at Paul Henry's Art Gallery in Hammond.
Right. And you've been involved with Paul Henry also then?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And are you?
Oh, very much
so. Okay,
so
she's, yeah, okay, good. I wanted to make sure Esther was familiar because I've exhibited there also, and it's I've exhibited through Slack. In fact, the current exhibit at 119th Street Gallery is actually 119th Street, Slack, and I can't remember the other group.
And Dave, I think.
Dave, yeah. Yes. So those three groups have gone together to exhibit at 119th Street currently. So
that's right.
Very good. So now you're in Highland, and tell us a little bit more about your life in Highland as an artist, no longer working for a corporation or a business.
Right. So now I have more time to worry that I'm not spending enough time on my artwork. Right. But I do have the studio space in Hammond, so I'm able to get over there a couple of times a week. And it's really wonderful. I was working out of a spare bedroom in my house before that. And there's always the challenge then of knowing that there's things you have to do at home. There's always the challenge of, should I be washing dishes, or should I be doing laundry, or what other things do I need to be doing? But you don't have that issue when you're away in another place where you're actually at work. And that's been a really, really wonderful decision to be a part of that group, because it's been great for my artwork to have that dedicated time without any other interruptions. And there's five of us that share a studio space, and it's a huge space. And it's worked out very well with our schedules that we are almost always there alone. So even though we have this group of people, we can make appointments to kind of get together. But a lot of times I have the studio all to myself.
So it's one big open space?
It's a huge open space. Yeah.
I think I'm see that.
Are there other painters, or what other artists are sharing the space?
Sherry is there, and she does mostly painting, yeah. But she's also been doing some sculptures lately. There's Carrie Mommer, who is a painter. There's Gladys Cook, who does mosaics. And there's Tony Lipka, who does assemblages. So he does a lot of found art.
So have you ever had any open houses for the studio? Or?
We did. We had one in the spring. I think we're actually due for another one soon.
Well, then we'll have to, talk to someone there. I have Tony on my proposed guest list and everything, because Tony is a unique character, definitely. he also runs the framing shop, Great Frame Shop in Illinois and everything. So he was the one in Dave that brought me into that, contacted me about, exhibiting at Intrigue. So, yeah, he's definitely a fun guy. I remember his on Facebook. I think it's changed now. He called himself Tony No Pants Lipka. I think he's changed that since. So, talk a little bit about your artistic process. Like, I know some of the printmaking you do. What are the tools? What are the process? And how do you do that? I know you do different things, but maybe talk about some of that.
Okay, so. What I'm working on right now with the Cairn paintings, that usually starts with a sketch. And if I'm painting, I sketch right on the canvas. I've never been good at, let me do a thumbnail and work everything out and then do it all over again for real. It's not to say that there's anything wrong with that. That's just never been a good process for me. I tend to be a little bit more intuitive as an artist, so practicing isn't going to necessarily make it any better. I sketch it out in ink, and then I usually do a whole kind of what you would consider a wash, a light sort of transparent layer of paint over the whole thing, and then I start blocking in colors. I do a lot of layering in my work, and no matter what...
oils or acrylics?
Acrylics.
Okay.
And no matter kind of what the subject matter is, the layering is a really important part in the way that I work, so I do a whole lot of thin layers of paint, and that way they kind of show through. It doesn't necessarily...
Well, that explains the luminosity of them. It really does.
It makes a huge difference than just putting a flat color down. But also, then I change my mind sometimes as I'm working. So, no, that needs to be a little bit darker. That needs to be a little bit greener, whatever it might be. And I work and work and work until the painting tells me that it's done. And that might sound a little bit odd, but I will look at it and think, okay, what else do I need to do? And it says, nothing. It's good. It's done. Okay, set it aside. And sometimes it says, yeah, I need something, but I don't know what it is. And then I have to set it aside for a little bit and come back to it.
Mm-hmm. I know. It looks like, as I look through your blog, it looks like landscapes, of course, are like a major inspiration to you. You can even see it in those early printmaking, even though they're just really just kind of lines, but they really evoke... a landscape. And then I noticed the pulp painting that you did. Did you do that with Andrea Peterson?
I sure did.
Yeah, they are. Andrea, actually the whole family, Hook Pottery and Paper, are just phenomenal.
Very talented people,
yes. The whole family is talented. So is that where you first did the pulp painting? Or did you go to her because you were doing it?
No, I I had gone and done a, she had sort of an open studio workshop day yes. that I went to, and I thought it was phenomenal. I was terrible at it, and I saw a lot of possibility in it. I thought if I could figure out how this process works, I think I could do something really amazing with it. And so I had the opportunity, I asked her if she would take on a residency with me if I could get a grant from the state, and I did. So that's how I managed to spend a week working with her, paid for through a grant from the Indiana Arts Commission.
Wow, that's fabulous. Because I noticed, like, when you first started your pulp painting and going back to, like, the whole landscape theme, the pulp painting, it was the first time that the landscapes got very literal to me. It was like everything else had been very abstract. And even beyond that, like after you went from pulp painting to those beautiful, and I don't know what part of your career you did them, but it's the first thing that pops up when you Google your name, are those just the almost dune-like images, I guess, or rock images, or they're so incredibly beautiful. And then now it's like, now it's a micro focus on the cairns. It's
yes.
like so cool. This I love this progression.
Thank you.
So how long have you been working on the cairns?
The cairns have been within the last year, and I would say actually probably within the last 6 months.
Oh, so it's not exhausted yet, so you don't know what your next step is.
No, and it sort of developed out of another series that I was working on where I was... It's a little bit hard to explain without a visual reference, but I was sort of painting the negative spaces of things. And a lot of them, particularly because of the palette that I was working with and the colors I was using, tended to look like stones in the bottom of a riverbed. And the cairn sort of developed out of that.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, they're very moving, and they are very zen-like and simple forms. And it's kind of this palette from your last one, it's kind of the same palette but grayed in a sense, I guess.
I
don't know. It's very soft and magical.
I do have my favorite colors, you know.
Yes,
and that hasn't quite changed from the last bit of paintings that I've done.
Yeah, they just change their the dynamic way you use them. It's
yes.
yeah, it's a beautiful body of work.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, with radio, we can't show that body of work, but where could people see your website and Facebook page?
Yep, Facebook page is Dawn Diamantopoulos, and also on Instagram, Dawn Diamantopoulos, too.
The website's very good, though.
Thank you.
And just so you know, that Diamantopoulos is Dawn, DawnDiamantopoulos.com.
Yes.
So if you're doing a Google search or whatever... type that in there, and you'll get to visit with Dawn. You're on listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and we're listening to Dawn here and talking about her art in Northwest Indiana, her roots from Pennsylvania, and everything like that. Tell us a little bit. You touched on that about your BFA. What was entailed in your Bachelor of Fine Arts degree?
Let's see, Pratt had a foundation year, so everybody that went through the School of Art and Design went through the same first year. There was a little bit of flexibility based on what your professor was like, which I think is probably true no matter where you go to school. So my first year, I had to take a 3D class, I had to take drawing, and I had to take a class called Light, Color, and Design. And this was probably the most inspirational class that has been... the biggest effect on my painting was that first year class. My roommate had the same class, and her professor was a graphic designer. And so all of her work was related to, you know, how does light and color affect a design? Where I had a painting professor who I thought was this crazy old lady at the time. I loved her, but she seemed like a crazy old lady. I found out later she was one of the top color theorists in the country, which I had no idea about because she was very unassuming. Her name was Mary Buckley, and she really taught us to see color and to really pay attention to what colors were really there rather than just making assumptions and looking at how the color changes from the morning to the afternoon to the evening. Film people will understand the golden hour. right before sunset, and how that changes, and how you have this golden color in the air and the light, or how summer color of the air is different than the winter, where it's much cooler, and how all of those things affect the things that you are seeing every single day. She had us do a still life at one point that we had to draw 24 times over the course of the day. So you're setting your alarm to get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning to draw this apple still life. And how that, and in natural light, of course. So you were drawing in the dark mostly. It was Brooklyn, so it was never quite completely dark, but how that light affected everything.
What an enriching experience, and it does inform your work. I mean, it's like all these little clues to where we go with our work, and the people who make the deepest impression on us. She sounds quite phenomenal.
That was the biggest. That was really the biggest, most meaningful impact that I got out of school, really. And I, at the time, I was a graphic design major, and I signed up for my second year, which was sort of a secondary foundation year, I always like to think of it, where whatever your major was, that's when you started to take those specific classes. And I signed up for typography, which was a thing then. It's still a thing now, but not really in the age of computers.
But you use it in your work, I mean, or at least things that you post.
I realized I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to spend, you know, hours and hours and hours mastering hand lettering in all of these different fonts, because you had to hand letter all of those things back then. And I thought, this is terrible. I want to be a painting major. And so I changed my major to painting. And during that, I had to take an etching class, which I fell in love with, and thought, nope, it's printmaking. I've got to be a printmaker.
It's intoxicating. Printmaking is intoxicating. It just is. I teach it to the kindergartners because it's magical and it's immediate for them. And at that age, you know, you're not working about all the chemicals and stuff.
Right.
You're just paint and your plate.
So, right.
You know, for an audience that doesn't know the difference between like a Bachelor of Arts and a Bachelor of Fine Arts, maybe talk a little bit about that. What's the difference?
Oh, I probably knew this years ago. A Bachelor of Fine Arts, gosh, I don't know if I do know the difference of this anymore.
I think it's more concentrated in your area. Like a Bachelor of Arts, I always call it as like getting two associate degrees, an associate in liberal arts and associate in your major. Well, a fine arts is much like a science degree, which is much more concentrated, I think.
I did not actually have a whole lot of liberal arts classes, or what you would consider gen ed classes when I was in school. So there was that. I didn't have to take a whole year of... I had to take one math or science class when I was in school.
Which
math,
did you choose?
I chose science, and it was ecology.
Me too.
And for my senior, or for my final project for that class, we had to write a paper or make an art project. So I had an etching based on the water cycle.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I know. When I changed my major, I started out as an electrical engineering major and realized that I was more interested in doing theater and the arts and things. And so I went to take, I call it dumb science. They call it science for humanities. And I actually made a deal with the professor. I says, you know, this is like middle school science. I said, can I just come take the test, which I did. And the same thing with math. I was in like originally in integrated calculus, analytic geometry. I went, oh my gosh, this is not why I want to do engineering. So I took dumb math, they call it. And yeah, so I understand, like when you move into that, it's not the highest requirement you need, but it's everything like that. What do you look at some of the future of what you're looking to do? What are there other art areas you want to expand into? I mean, you're doing printmaking, you're doing the collage things. And
oh gosh, I would love to do more pulp painting. I don't have the facilities to do that. You know, you have to, that's quite a setup, and it's a very wet setup. But I would love to do more of that. And I'm not really sure. I'm really open to learning whatever sort of things I have the opportunity to. When Gladys taught the mosaics class earlier this fall, I took her class. And that was lots of fun. And I had done some mosaic work years and years ago when I was working as an artist assistant for another artist. But I hadn't done any in a long time, and I certainly hadn't done any for me. That was my work. So that was.
Have you worked in oils before, or is it primarily acrylics?
I really don't, and I really don't want to because of the fumes and the chemicals. I'm really sensitive to that. And I, even with acrylics, sometimes that's a little bit more than I want to be breathing in.
Mm, I agree. Printmaking is the same way. Even though everything is getting better. I mean, we do host an oil painting class, and I thought it was going to be really smelly, but it's not. Certain colors of paints are smellier than others, but the terpenoid has made it like so much easier to do that. But I look forward to when printmaking becomes less toxic.
Yeah, the water-based inks definitely are a little bit easier to handle.
I know, I still have my stash of lead-based enamels that are locked up and I can't quite get rid of because they are so beautiful, but I don't want to use them either, so.
Yeah, it's a tough spot
to be in. It really is. As an artist, they forget about that part of it, I believe, the chemicals and the dangerous situations sometimes that we put ourselves in.
The risk of art.
The risk, it is.
Tell us a little bit about other things outside of art. You know, you're married, and I think you have two sons. So,
I do.
And so how do they support you or do things with art? Or
it's like, you can see that I just rolled my eyes.
If you just saw, you cannot see it, but Jan just rolled her eyes at that question.
Don't go to the openings? Or
for a long time, my younger son, I did bring to the openings, and I would make him, you know, find his favorite piece of artwork and tell me why. And one time he went to an opening, and he said, "This is my favorite piece." And I said, "Okay, why?" And he said, "It follows all the rules of awesomeness." And I thought, well, that's a pretty good thing to aspire to. Okay. But, yeah, you know, he's not really interested in that right now. And
do they like art in school?
My younger one's taking ceramics now. He took a 2D class last semester, and he wasn't crazy about that. He tolerates the ceramics. He likes it a lot better than 2D, but he's filling an art requirement for high school. It's not really where his passion is.
Okay. And does your husband support you in the art, or is this a tolerated thing?
No, he supports it, absolutely. Okay. And he has... he's an architectural draftsman, so actually I met him at Pratt. He was getting his Bachelor of Architecture there. And so he always says that he wanted to be someone that could just draw, but he didn't think he could get paid for it, and that's why he went into architecture, because they would pay him to draw.
So do you ever work together? Have you collaborated on any pieces?
We haven't, but we have drawn kind of alongside each other.
Mm.
So we've worked near each other, but not necessarily on the same thing.
Because in the gallery, we have a lot of husband-wife artists who don't necessarily work on this. You know, they might work in the same medium, but completely differently. And
yes. As
I was looking through the gallery, there are a lot of husband-wife or partner teams. And so it's kind of interesting because you are, you know, working in proximity. So do you think there's any influences that go either way? Because yours are, you know, very... It would seem like very, very different from architecture, but...
Right. When he does drawings for himself, they tend to be a lot more organic.
Mm.
So that's... Which would be kind of the opposite of what you would think of as architectural. And maybe that's why. Maybe it's because he does architectural stuff all day at work that he wants something flowing
softer and
softer. Yeah.
And you, has he influenced you in your work at all?
I would say not so much, really. More on an emotional level than, you know, on an actual subject matter, medium level.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, we know also something that Dawn does is a little bit outside of art. It has to do with oils. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Some of these are kind of essential, aren't they?
Yes, I am absolutely an essential oils addict. And that came about because I was looking to support my son. My older son has special needs, and that keeps me busy in quite a lot of ways advocating for him. And I was looking for things that could help calm him down, and found some, and realized, you know, with more and more research that I did, that I could use essential oils for just about everything. And, you know, non-toxic cleaning, as, you know, I'm trying to avoid chemicals, and things like that that are really important.
Very good. So you actually have host parties or host events like that?
I do. Yes, I have an essential oils business. So that's, you know, my side hustle as opposed to my, you know, art being my side hustle.
Well, yeah, I think most people in the arts, they have the real job and then the arts job. Very few people. It's hard to make a living at it, no matter what. I mean, I've been fortunate in theater throughout most of my life that I had a base job, which was in theater as a auditorium theater director and everything like that. Now, in semi-retirement and doing all these boards and things.
Right.
Yes, and doing this with Esther and everything. Yes, we have to sometimes look outside the box to support our artistic habit.
It's true.
Esther has the nest, you know, which I actually drove by the other day. I was going to stop in and say hi, but it was closed.
Was it closed or did it just look closed?
Maybe it looked closed because I was at a meeting at Southern Shore and I thought, oh, I'll pop in and say hi. And then it looked dark and I went by it again. I thought, I don't know if they're open. So
yeah, I don't, you know, I get more foot traffic if I leave my open flag inside the business than if I put it out. It's counterintuitive. I don't know why that is, but we've tested it. And if I don't put, but we do have very dark windows and it protects the art, and so we don't have the sun streaming in.
Those of you not familiar with the Franklin Art District, what Esther's talking about is most of those businesses have an open flag that they stick out on, especially during First Friday.
Except me.
Except Esther now. So when you know her flag is not out, she's probably open. So it's great. You're listening to WVLP 103.1 FM, Art on the Air, our weekly program covering arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. And if you're interested in being on the show, sending information to the show, everything, please send it to artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp, all one word, @gmail.com. Be interested in having that, and Esther especially is interested in, as I am. We'd love to have features like little snippets of music, especially at our closeout, of local bands and everything like that. So we're hoping to do that down in the future. And if you want to be on our arts calendar, please do that. The show repeats on Monday from 5 to 6, and you'll hear our guests, which we're building the guest list up right now. We have our several guests coming up. We have Dawn this week. We have Shirley Lemonnier coming up, a friend of, I think, all of us here sitting here. So we'll bring her on. And then we have Dana DeBasia from Southern Shore Arts Association, and she'll be here on that first Friday, November 2nd. And Steve Bensing of Duneland Photography Club, our upcoming guests. And again, if you're interested in doing that, please contact us. So Dawn, you've told us a little about your essential oils. You told us about your artwork. Is there anything that we haven't touched that you'd like to tell us about?
Oh, goodness.
Your deep, dark secrets.
Yeah. Yeah, what can I share now?
I have a question.
Sure. Yes.
I have a question. I want to talk more about the paper pulp.
Okay.
So it's changed a lot since you first did your internship or worked with that grants. Have you been following it, how paper pulp has, like, especially even what Andrea's doing and the latest artist she's been hosting? The work is quite exciting.
Love to follow her. I follow them on Instagram and also on Facebook, too, to stay in touch with what they're doing, and it's always exciting. She always has absolutely phenomenally talented people working with her. There's another artist that I know that works with her regularly, Dorothy Graydon, and she is, I think she's based in Chesterton or Valparaiso.
Yeah, Valparaiso, but she just had an exhibit at the Chesterton Arts Center, and her work is almost mind-blowing at times. It's like, where do you come up with this? If you've ever seen Dorothy Graydon's work, it's really something. Have you seen it, Esther?
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's Dorothy for a while.
Yeah, it's something else.
Yeah, very petroglyph-based, but then it's like, then it's gone beyond that now. But she does make her own paper, or she does that now, I think, almost exclusively, like for her larger pieces.
Yes.
She's made the paper. It's very exciting. Andrea's an amazing resource for the whole area, and
Absolutely. It's
amazing that she can keep up her own practice as well and keep all of this going. I don't know how she does everything, juggles it all. So what inspires your next body of work? Like, are you already thinking like past the cairns, like what you might, like, are you getting the inklings of where you might want to take your work next?
You know, I have to start thinking about printmaking again, just since I'm teaching these workshops. But I'm definitely not done with the cairns yet. And things do tend to evolve, you know, one thing out of the next.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I am going to be working on in the future is a long-term collaboration with one of my studio mates, Carrie Mahmer. And we have a musician involved as well. And we're going to be making artwork inspired by the music that he chooses, and then he's going to sort of redirect that and then choose new music based on what he sees in our artwork, and then we're going to make more artwork based on music that he chooses. So it's going to be this sort of evolution of things that happens, and that's
it's beautiful. Exciting. Sherry came to our gallery, and never having met the two musicians who were playing, she painted like for 2 hours, like what her feelings, and it was so beautiful. And I got to watch the whole thing, of course. Where the musicians couldn't, and it was like the music. You were looking at the music, so it will be exciting to see it in reverse.
Right.
Yeah. I think something like that happened with Dorothy Graydon, where Mitch Gregory did a piece of music based on her work that I think it was last year or the year before. It's exciting. Yeah. Collaboration.
Well, you've been teaching. Would you like to expand that into maybe teaching at the college level? I know with a BFA, you would need to probably expand that. But, I mean, would that be something, a greater way to not only do your artwork, but share your process and everything with more people? Or workshops, much more?
I'm not sure. I really do like the idea of the workshops. One of the other things that I do in terms of teaching is I do outreach classes for South Shore Arts, actually.
Okay.
So mostly in Northern Lake County, but I've ventured out this way a couple of times before. And I focus mainly on second grade and third grade. And that works out really well scheduling-wise for me, because I have to schedule it during the school day when my kids are in school. So, you know, from a mom standpoint, that works out really well. I don't have to worry about childcare and things like that. And I don't have to worry about, oh, I can't come into work because it's Thanksgiving break or it's fall break or whatever. But that's really quite enjoyable for me. And the third grade project in particular has a lot of room for the kids to be as creative as they want to be. There's enough structure for kids who need that. And then there's enough freedom for kids who want to kind of go off and do sort of whatever they want. They make an animal. and they can make a turtle, or they can make a bug, or they can make any other animal that they want. And seeing the creativity and helping them sort of navigate how they can make things work with the limited supplies that they have is really fun and challenging and exciting.
So working around that, do you think you would want to do things in for other galleries maybe? Besides, I know Southern Shore is close to where you live in Highland, so that's in Munster. But.
I know, and I was thinking I would, if we have the opportunity, I would like to work on a collaboration with you that I thought of this morning, the night before I was looking through your work. And then as I was washing the cilantro this morning, I thought, why don't we do artist exchanges, almost like we get the people from Lake County to come to LaPorte County and vice versa and get a mix of these artists. And so I would love to host artists, maybe pop-ups for First Friday, and so that, because then you have a wide audience coming through, and that way we get to see, because I can't believe I in all these years I've never met you. And and so I'm sure there, like just in Michigan City, there's just an incredible wealth of talent in our area. And I say Michigan City, but I'm meaning Chesterton and Valparaiso and the surrounding areas. And I would love to see all of that just kind of circle around.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
I would love to work on that with you, just making
that
happen. Absolutely. Great.
I think that's a great idea, that cross-pollination, because mm-hmm. I think everyone then grows as an artist, be you more traditional artist or photographer or everything like that. I know a lot of times when I talk about work, I actually refer to some of the work in art that inspires me to do in photography, and I refer to actual painting artists and things like that. So I think that's a great cross-pollination that I think we need more of in Northwest Indiana, and maybe that would be a vehicle for the Nest and others to do that.
So. Oh, yeah. I mean, do gallery switches and stuff.
Yeah,
so
that'd be really fun.
Yeah, I think everybody would be enriched, because I know I was looking at your site, and had you not been a guest here, we probably wouldn't have met.
So. Right.
Yeah.
Very good. So we talked a little bit about, sort of your future and things like that and everything. But anything else we really haven't touched on with you, Dawn? I mean, about your art, where you want to go with that personally? Do you love Northwest Indiana, I guess, staying here?
It is home now.
It is.
It definitely is. And my kids are in high school, and this is where I feel like we're sort of settled here at this point. We've been in Highland for almost that whole time. And yeah, I've become very attached to the Highland community as well. I really want to see Highland growing in terms of their arts. And so much has happened in the last couple of years, not just with Main Street's murals, but there's a couple of galleries that have opened up in town. So we have Promise You Art House, which is just a couple blocks from where I live. I can walk there. Tinker's Attic is another one. Mm. And they also do tons of live music. They have tons and tons of musical events, and they do some classes and things there too. And then even Sip Coffee House has rotating art shows that go through, even though it's a coffee house. So I'm really looking forward to seeing more and more arts coming into that town.
Yeah. In fact, on my future guest list, Promise You Art House is one of them that I contacted down the road, because that's literally, they've not even been a year now, is it? Or is it maybe?
Just a year.
Just
yeah.
a year. So, that, I mean, they've really, and also personally, I said, hey, I'd like to get some of my pieces in there too. Being an old Highland guy, I lived in Highland for all my life, except for these last 3 years when we moved to Chesterton. So, yeah, I think, and Highland's a great community. I loved being in Highland. It's nice to see now visual arts being part of that community, much like downtown Michigan City. I mean, look at that whole Franklin Street thing. That's fantastic. I mean, have you been to one of those?
Yes.
I'll be there for November 2nd, making the rounds there. We have an exhibit, of course, at Southern Shore, which I'm involved with, obviously, as vice president, but I also always sneak out to make sure I hit all the other galleries. So you'll be open, right, Esther?
Yes, you've never, yeah, I don't
I've know. Never gone down south as much, so I need to do that.
No.
It's not that far away. Yeah, I have to do that. So, and everything. We're talking to Dawn Dinatopoulos, and you can look at her artwork. I'm going to do it one more time. DawnDinatopoulos.com. She also is on Facebook. You can do say, and that's spelled DawnDinatopoulos.com. Yeah. Wow. You know what? You might get it. When I first got my domain name, I shortened my name to Breck, BRECH.com.
Yeah.
In an era when short was good in the internet in the 90s. So that's great. But that way you can actually, you know, it's great what we're talking about, both Esther and I, with Dawn here. But you can't visualize what she's done. I've seen her work in person. So I've seen all the things that she's done at the various galleries and everything like that. Any other galleries you're involved with in Northwest Indiana?
Let's see, I've got work at Paul Henry's, and I have work at Promise You Art House, and I have work at SIP right now, and I have work at 119th Street right now. I am a member there, and that might be it for right now.
Is it hard to keep track of where your stuff is at? That's probably my biggest problem with exhibiting, is keep tracking it. And luckily what I do is I have a news segment on my website, and I put where things are at, so they go, oh yeah, there, I have to take that down or everything and put it in the calendar. That sometimes is a logistics issue, and it's like then having to make sure you pick it up at the right time and everything.
Yeah, I was making a mental note when you were talking about the current show at 119th Street. Oh yeah, I need to go pick that work up soon. At the end of the month, I need to pick that work up.
Well, fortunately I have a little in there with Jen Thompson, who actually we're meeting for lunch. We call her our Chesterton daughter. She's also the president of 119th Street, and most of the time she'll bring our stuff home for us.
Yes.
So we have the advantage living in Chesterton together. So anything else you'd like to tell us about you? You know, we're getting ready to wrap up here, but you know, we'd love the artist community to know about a little bit more about the real Dawn.
Let's see, what else? One of the things that I do, and 119th Street is going to be doing this now, but one of the things that I do is a postcard swap, and I do this a couple of times a year, and it's a great way for artists to connect with each other and meet new artists. And just in the last one, I met someone that lived in Dyer that I didn't know, and actually has become like an instant friend, which has been wonderful. Sometimes they're all the way across, you know, the country somewhere else, but we had a lot of local people this time, and you send a piece of artwork out into the world and you get one back from somebody different. So you have a chance to connect with two different artists, and 119th Street is doing that this month. I think you have to sign up by the end of October for that.
I'm trying to consider what piece to do with mine. So
yes,
what photo to bring into the thing. I've never done that before though. And I thought this time I said, I need to participate in that. That sounds like a great way to meet other people.
I know,
people.
It's excellent. Don't we love? I mean, as artists, we always collect each other's work. And I know in the gallery, everybody's like, oh, I hope I sell a piece of my work so I can get a piece of this work. So,
One of the things that I've done too is just actually swapped art
with other artists,
and that's been wonderful to be able to have somebody who absolutely loves one of your pieces of artwork, you know, that it's in a home that appreciates it and loves it and is so thankful and grateful for it, and then you're getting a piece of artwork in return that you love and are thankful and are grateful for, and that's been wonderful too.
You know, something where we were talking with Donna Acatalano from South Shore Arts, but you can talk to it from the artist perspective, as you have received two grants from the Indiana Arts Commission.
Yes.
Maybe touch a little bit about what an artist has to do to go through to get that as an individual artist.
The rules have changed some since I did, and it's a little bit more about emerging artists now. At the time, it was you needed to do something that would be advancing your career in some way. And so the first time I decided I wanted to paint big, and I applied for canvases that were going to be 8 feet big. 8 feet. The side story to that is I was painting in a spare bedroom that was 8 feet wide at the time, and it was very, very difficult to get them in and out of that bedroom.
It's like building a boat in the basement, right?
Yes, right. And then, okay, I had literally 1 inch to spare of wiggle room to kind of get it around the corner and back out of my house. But that was a phenomenal experience, and those were shown at the Crown Point location that South Shore Arts Galleries have. And then the second one was to be able to go and spend that week with Andrea Peterson, and that was absolutely amazing. They were both really, really wonderful experiences, and you're getting this money that you don't have to pay back, that you can use to buy art supplies, so that you don't have to try to find that in your own budget, and that's really, really wonderful.
What's the process like? What do you have to do, like, as an artist to apply for that? Because I think the artist ones are coming up this next time.
Yes, actually, I think they are.
Yeah.
So it's an online application, and there's narratives that you have to fill out and how you're going to spend the money and what exactly you're going to do with it and what the community is going to get out of it. That was a smaller part when I was applying. For me, that was having a show. That's how the community was going to get something out of it. But I think there's a slightly larger component to that now. But they have that all online.
Well, very good. Yeah, I sat on the last Indian Arts Commission for the grants for projects, and we did 26 of them, which
I did that the 2 years prior to that. Yes.
Donna was always after me while I was working to do that. And I said, you know, it's just the time when I'm directing the spring musical, my headspace is there. And now that I was retired, I went to it and I said, oh my gosh, this is like a lot of work.
It's a huge amount of work.
And so she said in the future, she says, you know, we're not going to do 26 with one group. We're going to split that up because that was tremendous. And then you sit all day doing the art. So, well, we're about ready to wrap up. Any final thoughts from Dawn?
Oh, just thank you so much for having me on. I love talking about art, and I'm really happy to be
here. We're so glad to have you here.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. And you made a new art friend today.
I did.
And that's great.
Everywhere you go.
So you've been listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering art and everything. Esther Golden is with me on the side here from The Nest. And if you haven't visited, like I haven't yet, we're going to go do that. And please listen to us. And we repeat the show Monday 5 to 6. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.